I've been talking about this, I said seminar, I don't know exactly what you call it, that we're going to be doing with the folks from Yellow Brick. Yellow Brick is that place in Evanston which helps young people launch their lives. If you know someone who's struggling some way, Yellow Brick really might be a place you should check out. And they're going to do this here, this open house, where they're going to talk to you about how you talk to your teenagers. The medical director there is a guy named Dr. David Barron. And we asked him to jump on with us a little bit and preview it. Hey, doctor, it's John Williams. You're on WGN Radio. How are you?
I'm very well, John. Nice to be with you.
Talk about talking to your teens. I don't even know how to talk. What do we call this thing? Is it an open house, a seminar? What do you call it?
I think you're being modest, John. We would call it a conversation. We're inviting parents in to talk with some of our staff and really also to facilitate some dialogue between parents because we know that among parents there's a lot of wisdom to be had and not everyone always has the same wisdom. So we hope to be able to help some, but it's really meant to be a conversation.
Is this for parents whose kids are having real problems or is it just for any parent?
It's for any parent. I would imagine parents whose kids are having troubles may be a little more drawn to it, but we really welcome anyone. I would say, to reference what you were talking about earlier, the plot is always thick with adolescents.
Yeah, no
and
kidding.
Sometimes it gets thicker than other times.
Well, so give me a for instance. Like, what's a scenario that you would imagine parents would be dialoguing about or you guys would be offering some suggestions?
Yeah, I think any teen who is kind of manifesting signs of potential trouble, at any level, sometimes it's more minor, sometimes it's more situational, sometimes it's more a kind of evolving serious problem, involvement with drugs, unaccounted for time, concerns about who they're hanging out with, missing school, grades dropping, becoming more isolated. Those tend to be the kinds of warning signs that, something's happening, and it doesn't always tell you what right away. But.
Right. Well, so here's what you do. You say, okay, honey, you'll say this to your husband or your wife. This is the parents talking. They say, we need to bring him in and talk to him about this and tell him that we need to know where he is, or that we smelled marijuana on his clothes and we know something's up here. Or should you soft pedal those things? Because if you come on too strong, you're just going to alienate him. So I wonder how to play that scene.
Well, there's always a balance between too strong and nothing. I think direct communication is always favored, and we're always promoting it over no communication or over clobbering a kid the moment you have any worries. And of course, every young person is different, and people have different sensitivities, and parents, tend to know their kids best. Certainly better than we do when we first meet them, and we learn a lot from that. But we were talking earlier, kind of getting ready for this, there's no one right solution that's going to work for every adolescent.
Yeah.
And, that's why, when we're treating people, we're trying to take a very individualized approach, even though we know what the developmental themes tend to be.
Dr. David Barron's the medical director at Yellow Brick in Evanston next Tuesday night. Next Tuesday, the 25th, they're doing this open house. But that's interesting to me because the scenario that you and I were talking about off the air, that you're referencing on the air now, is when I was asking you about social media. I said, should a parent follow their kid on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram? Should they say, okay, you can have a phone or you're going to get a laptop and you're going to be on social media, but we get to see everything that you post? Should a parent say that? And you said, well, it depends, which to me is not yes. I mean, I'm surprised you didn't say yes, a parent should be following their kids on social media.
I think that I don't think there's an absolute answer. I know that sometimes frustrates families when we say things like that. I think for and there are also degrees of following too. There's checking your kid's Facebook page 20, 30 times a day, and there's randomly checking in now and then, so that a particular adolescent knows that could happen, and those are very different approaches. For some kids it may be a moratorium depending on what's been going on. When there's bullying and things like that, it may be we got to shut down the account for a while and take a break. But I can't say any of those is exactly the right answer for any particular young person.
Boy, I don't. You're the expert, right? And individuals are different than other individuals, so I hear you. But here's my advice. hell yes, you're paying for the thing. Follow them. You don't have to talk to them about everything. You don't have to text back or, you know, comment on their tweet. But I would absolutely be eavesdropping on their communication.
I think that's a value that many parents have, and I certainly don't oppose it. I just think that, I think it's important to recognize that, kind of to back it up to the basic, what we would call the substrate, the working matter of this, which is the human brain and human persons. People are incredibly complex. They're a lot more complicated than we understand, even though we get better every day at understanding it. And to say there's only one way to approach everybody, is probably is going to miss the boat on some people.
Well, I suppose the mistake I'm making here is that if you're trying to grow the kid, teach them that they can have some responsibility and that they can be independent, which is really what they want.
Exactly.
My helicoptering over their social media maybe is not going to foster that, is it?
It's a really tough developmental stage because the challenge of adolescence, and even more so as people get into emerging adulthood, after 18 on to late 20s, early 30s, is to become separate and independent while still having some connection to your family and your parents and the important people in your life. In fact, it's really hard to become independent if you don't have a stable launch platform. It's kind of like trying to push off a diving board, and no matter how hard you push, the board just keeps going lower and lower and doesn't bounce. And you can't really make a good dive that way. The balance is to be found in what do we do to promote independence, like for early teens to allow some privileges and things that get done independently, and what do we do to, create conditions in which a person can take those risks more safely. They know they have parents to come back to if something goes wrong. They have parents that aren't going to condemn them if it goes wrong,
right,
but that they get some opportunities to take those risks, because otherwise you can't become independent. We don't just grow kids. We try to strike some balance between growing them and them growing themselves.
YellowbrickProgram.com. Go there now, and you can find out more about this free event next Tuesday night in Evanston. I'll say hi, then get out of the way, because clearly I don't know what I'm talking about. And then we'll let these people hear you and talk to you as well. Dr. David Behrens, the medical director at Yellowbrick. Okay, doctor, good luck. I will see you guys a week from tomorrow. Thanks for your time this afternoon, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you very much, John. We look forward to seeing you.
Yeah, no kidding. YellowbrickProgram.com.